voted best liberal radio show hosted by a tequila drinker in Oklahoma. It's Bart Cop Radio.
Well, I'd mentioned in the opener, that's what we call it in the radio game, that this might be the last show under the old format. And for this show, I tried to hijack the Bill Maher show, and let me explain a little bit. Because there is no time to do anything, all these radio shows are essentially live. There's no preparation, there's no rewrites, there's no double takes. So when it comes time to do the show, really all I can do is sit down with a stack of newspapers, turn on the microphone, and go, and then cut out all the verbal faux pas that are in between. Obviously, we've had such an irregular and hopscotch hippity-hop approach to everything because, again, without a producer, there's nobody to say, wait, you already did that, or hold on, wouldn't it be better to do one of these and one of those? And, you know, you forgot the big story of the week, even with the internet and telephones and things like that, there's just no way to interact immediately with somebody across the country, like Tommy, like Chicago Jim, and the other people that helped me put things together. Along that line, I thought what I could do is hijack Bill Maher's show. That way, his producer and Bill Maher would help pick the topics. They would have guests on that would give me things to argue with, and et cetera, et cetera. But looks like we're going to do this one time. And when we get through this, we're going to try a different approach for show 82. So for right now, we're going to use some of Bill Maher's show. There's some other standalone bits, too, but there was a monkey on Bill Maher's show, and they discussed the flood. They discussed a lot of things, so we're going to use their format for a little bit, at least to get through this show, 81, and then 82 will have a different look. So take it away, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you. But remember, no looting. Well, I guess you heard the big story of the day. Michael Brown, the head of FEMA, has been relieved of his command. He has been asked to return to Washington immediately. He is expected to arrive in about a week. And did you see what happened to Vice President Dick Cheney? He was down there in the New Orleans area. Rushed right out of his vacation 2 weeks later. And somebody yelled out, "Go fuck yourself." No. Please. And Cheney said, "That's a corpse. I'm over here." No, that's pretty, wow, to say go fuck yourself right to the, but of course that's the problem with being a celebrity. People are always coming up to you and saying your catchphrase. Right. Back to you. All right, now let's go to Joe. He hosts Scarborough Country on MSNBC. He's live from Pensacola, Florida. Our friend Joe Scarborough. Joe, how you doing down there?
Hey, doing great, Bill. Thanks. It's been a devastating week for these people in Mississippi and New Orleans. You know, I've been through hurricanes for the past 20 years. I've never seen anything like it at all. And unfortunately, as you were just talking to the local official there, the feds, the state, the local governments just completely dropped the ball, at least for the first 4 or 5 days.
Well, come on, it's a lot more on the feds, isn't it? I mean, really, when this is all tallied up, aren't most of these deaths on the tab of George Bush and Mike Brown?
No, I think it's evenly shared.
No, it's not evenly shared, and we're going to make Joe Scarborough eat that in just a minute.
You got to understand that, because, Bill, when you have hurricanes that come, the first responders are always on the local level. I went to Biloxi the morning after and was outraged by what I saw. I saw 15-month-old girls.
And then he goes on to give a long list of the outrageous things he saw, as though we don't know things were horrible and outrageous after this thing hit. The idea, sure, it makes sense for the local people to get there first. But when the worst storm of all time destroys everything in its path, what was the local government supposed to do? I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, I guess they would have a giant building that had its own generators and its own water supply, and But first, it has to be invulnerable that the storm can't touch it. Then it's got to be well-stocked with everything that everybody needs. But on top of that, you can't just open the doors and let the masses go at it. You have to have some kind of system. You have to have some kind of government to distribute the stuff. And that means you have to have people there, government people to distribute it. And that means you've got to have bathrooms and housing and food and everything else for those people. I'm not sure exactly what people like Scarborough want to have in that situation. Now, he's about to get real honest, so I don't mean to beat him up too much, but, well, A, he's Joe Scarborough, so he's going to get it either way. But, you know, this idea about they're equally responsible is so much horseshit, and I have, I think, a good analogy. I'm going to explain why they're not equally responsible. Let's say me and some friends, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, let's say me and some friends are going to a show in Chicago. And let's just say it takes 12 hours to get to Chicago. Six for me to get from Tulsa to St. Louis, and six more to get from St. Louis to Chicago. Let's say the show is at 8 o'clock. So to be safe, I leave here at 6 o'clock in the morning, figuring I'll get to St. Louis at noon, a little lunch. Then we'll take off for Chicago, get into Chicago, say 7 o'clock, an hour before the show. Now, instead of leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning like I plan, what if I leave at noon? Now, I've got 6 hours to get to St. Louis. Okay, so I drive like hell. Let's say I get to St. Louis at 5 o'clock. Now, we got to get to Chicago, which is 6 hours away, in 3 hours. We're not going to do it. So when I get to St. Louis, I tell my buddy, come on, we're late. Hurry, get in the car, get in the car. And he says, okay. He runs out, he jumps in the car. We start to pull out of his driveway, and he says, no, wait, I forgot my keys. So he runs back inside and gets his keys, jumps in the car. Then we drive to Chicago, and we're late. Okay, when we get to Chicago, they say, where in the hell have you been? And I say, well, we were both at fault. No, that's not how it works. I was 6 hours late. He was 2 minutes late. There's a big difference. And all that doesn't matter. You know, the idea, anytime you hear Republicans say, the city of New Orleans was supposed to be there. And then they say, but the state of Louisiana was supposed to be there. Okay, fine. Let's take that and put it in a box and put it on the shelf. The question, though, is where was Bush? Where was the federal government? And they say, well, there was plenty of blame to go around. No, answer the damn question. Where was the government? How could they sit there like you and I did for 4 days and stare at the television and watch these riots and these rapes and these children walking around with nothing on and all that, and they just sat there? How is it possible? As the weeks go by, I guess we're going to hear a lot of explanations about this and that, but the bottom line, how do you sit there and watch that? If you're the president, you're supposed to watch that and look at and bark at your chief of staff. What the hell's being done right now? Why aren't there tanks and trucks and Humvees? Why aren't there people on the ground? Why don't we have soldiers in the area right now? And he's going to say, I don't know, Mr. President, I'm sorry about this. We got a lot of people in Dallas. We got a lot of people in Mobile. We got a lot of people in Memphis. We can have them there in 12 hours. Well, God damn it, make that happen. Do it right now, whatever it takes. Don't tell me you had a flat tire. We're talking about hundreds of trucks. We're talking about thousands of men. Do something right now. But no, they just sat there. How is it possible? And when you ask the government about it, they say, well, blame gaming. What kind of, you know, the people that say, they start whining about, oh, they want to point blame. That's the guilty who are talking about that. People who are innocent don't say, oh, there's time to play the blame game later. No. People who are innocent say, where the hell were you? People who are worried about, oh, they're pointing fingers again. Well, you know, we pointed fingers at Clinton for 10 years and we're still at it. And he didn't kill anybody. On Bush's watch, we lost 3,000 on September 11th. We're going to lose a whole lot more thousands in Iraq because we lost 2,000 right now. We've got between 3,000 and 10,000 dead maybe in Louisiana. With Bush, it's always a catastrophe, an investigation, and then a Lee Hamilton whitewash to cover it up, and then another catastrophe. And, you know, every time there's a major catastrophe, Halliburton has to come in and spend hundreds of billions of dollars to clean it up, and that's Bart's rule number two. Anytime you make a mistake and make a profit from it, expect a lot more mistakes. So with George Bush at the helm, we're going to have a catastrophe after catastrophe, and we're going to give Halliburton billions and billions and billions to clean it up, and Bush is going to say, hey, things happen. It was a big storm. Who knew? Who could have predicted? Again and again we hear this from the sons of bitches.
Pay attention, you will hear me tell all the people who are going to hell. Lesbian feminists with their witches' hats, homosexuals and Democrats. Well, if you want to be saved like me, you must take the Bible literally. Do it all or you'll be really dead. Except all that liberal stuff that Jesus said. It's important to have lots of guns. The way you'll know that you're the chosen one. You shouldn't have to pay for roads or schools. You're either fundamentalists or fools. Well, I don't know much about history. My kids don't need to know biology. Straight from homeschool to the voting booth, they'll know everything except the truth. Now to show your love is heaven sent, bomb the buildings of the government. Don't pray to statues that are such a drag. No graven images except the flag. Thou shalt not kill at all, except in war, or when you need to even up the score, or forgetting what you want, of course, like some vital natural resource. Now as a token of my loving heart, I will help you get a running start. Straight to heaven where it's always great. Here's a list of sins that you must hate. Well, if you're gonna mix and match your clothes, you'll be going straight to hell along with those eating pork and ostrich and shrimp and clams. Or if you're a woman dressing like a man, don't hate all women, just the ones who are smart. 'Cause it takes a man to make a family start. You'll beat your kids, of course, so they'll be tough. Unless you really aren't man enough. With full immersion, you'll have paid your dues, unlike those filthy Catholics and Jews. But your A-list ticket to this holy bash is a good amount of cold hard cash.
I didn't see the National Guard for 4 days. I spent the entire weekend outraged, not only at George Bush, but also at the governor of Mississippi, Louisiana, and the mayor of New Orleans. And then I said, well, what's the difference? Because during the election year last year, we had four hurricanes in Florida, and they handled them with ruthless efficiency. And the difference was...
Joe, that was Florida during an election year.
So basically, Joe Scarborough just said, a hurricane is a hurricane. That's what he just said. Why are they having trouble in Louisiana? We had four hurricanes. We came through it. Why are they having trouble down there? Gee, Joe, maybe it's because black people are stupid. Is that what you're getting at? Or could it be that this was the biggest hurricane ever hit the United States? Well, let's say in the last 100 years. And you're mad because they didn't handle it as well as the four that hit rich white Florida last year.
You don't think that George Bush gets the lion's share of this blame because he appointed as the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency after 9/11, after 9/11, and stop it, an old crony. Instead of appointing someone who had experience in this job, he appointed the guy who used to run the horsey show.
I will laugh on that one. Bill, I know you watch my show every night. I've been very critical of Brown, of Bush, of all of them.
No, it does not work that way. Why don't people understand that the city of New Orleans was mostly wiped out? Why don't they understand that the state of Louisiana, at least the southeastern part, was mostly wiped out? But Washington wasn't wiped out. Texas wasn't wiped out. Memphis wasn't wiped out. That's the federal government there. The guy's been shot, so why doesn't he fight back? Well, no, he's got friends that fight back for him when he's been shot. New Orleans got shot, and they're saying, well, why don't New Orleans get up and fight? Hey, asshole, they got shot.
When Bill Clinton was president, we had somebody named James Lee Witt. He was a great FEMA director. I flew around the Gulf Coast with him 3 or 4 times when hurricanes hit down here.
Right.
And when you have the right people in place,
okay,
it makes a big difference. But Bill, you got to understand really quickly, the first 72 hours is a local and state matter. Usually it takes about 3 days. That's when the feds come in. I fault George Bush mainly for the deaths that we had in New Orleans at the convention center, for the rapes, for all the other problems we had when they did not send the National Guard in, when newsmen were able to drive up to the convention center and to the Superdome and see these people dying, and yet FEMA claimed they didn't know about it until Thursday night.
But you said it yourself. Clinton appointed someone knowledgeable in that post. You can't tell me that if this had happened under Clinton's watch, he would have been all over this like white on rice.
Just a little reminder, one big reason Clinton got this job was because Bush the Smarter, during the recession, was seen on his cigarette boat out tooling around the Atlantic, and he kept saying, recession? What recession? Here's the Mr. Billionaire. He didn't see a recession. And Clinton, who came from humble roots, as they say, he saw a recession, and he promised to focus on it like a laser beam. And people thought, yeah, let's get a guy who comes to work. And so 8 years later, Monkey Boy takes over, and he thinks he's the vacationing president, which he has been. There's no denying that. And so now we got people dying of thirst, dying of starvation, and Monkey Boy's got other plans. He's out golfing. He's out playing with his guitar. Mara is 120% right. Clinton would have been all over this like crazy. He would have been staying up all night making sure, how many trucks we got going? Get more trucks. We got more trucks here, more trucks there. Let's get some trucks coming this way. Let's get some trucks coming that way. He would have been all over it, and a whole lot fewer people would have died. But no, Bush was on vacation. He was out playing effing golf on the Wednesday. Between the hurricane hit, what, Sunday? No, the hurricane hit... The hurricane hit Friday. Fuck. The hurricane hit Monday morning. Helped him get there till Friday. What's Bush doing on Wednesday? Playing golf.
The federal government was sleeping 72 hours into this. I have one theory, and that is Washington, D.C., when it comes to vacation schedules, is closer to France than any other American city. They shut down in August. Everybody was out of the city. They were enjoying their vacation, and I think it took them 24 to 48 hours to wake up and respond to the threat. And unfortunately, those 2-3 days cost people's lives.
It's very odd to see a guy like Joe Scarborough get half honest here. Now, the bad news is he's blaming Washington. Well, you know, the city of Washington doesn't go to sleep. The city of Washington doesn't shut down. It was George Bush. The responsibility for this problem does not rely on the city of Washington. It doesn't rely on the building called the White House. It belongs on the monkey who stole his way to power. Don't act like this is Washington's fault. It's Bush's fault. Why do you do that? Why do you mince words? Why do you pretend? Why do you lie to yourself? Washington didn't go on a vacation. Bush did for 5 weeks. And that son of a bitch, that hurricane hit over the weekend on like Tuesday or Wednesday, he was out in Arizona making whoopee with John McCain. And then a day or two later, he's playing that stupid guitar somewhere. Him and some country singers are yucking it up while people 1,000 miles away can't get water. Americans 1,000 miles away can't get water, can't get food. People trapped in their attics. Trying to breathe. You know, I've heard stories about what it's like to breathe down there. And if I'm not mistaken, Bush went and played golf between the time when the hurricane hit and before the National Guard got there. The son of a bitch went and played golf while these people couldn't get water, couldn't get food, couldn't breathe anything but foul air. And the bastard's out playing golf. So we're done with Joe Scarborough. Now Bill Maher moves to the panel. We get some good fireworks here.
He is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, my friend Jim Glassman right over here. Jim, yeah. Welcome back. She is a syndicated columnist and editorial page editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Cynthia Tucker. Hey, how are you? And, of course, you all know this guy, a comedy icon whose 13th HBO Live special, Life is Worth Losing. Boy, you do have balls. Debuts on November 5th. George Carlin.
Okay, so we got a Republican. Booker. Okay, so we got a Republican, Jim Glassman. You've seen him on CNN if you're old enough. Then we have a Democrat black woman, Cynthia Tucker, and the immortal George Carlin, who doesn't say a lot, but he gets some good shots in when he does.
I think the story here is that everybody screwed up.
You know, they keep getting away with that bullshit because nobody will call them on it. If somebody would just answer the question, where was the National Guard from outside the zone? Where were they for 4 days? You know, I can get from Tulsa to Vegas in less than a day and a half. I mean, I can wake up Tuesday morning and I'm in Vegas Wednesday afternoon. Why can't the National Guard get from Dallas to New Orleans in 4 days? Now, come on, just answer the damn question. When you ask the question, where were they? They changed the subject. Why do they have to change the subject? Because they're guilty.
This was a gigantic storm. We can't assume that we're going to be able to make everything good right away.
Pure and utter horseshit. Nobody demanded that George Bush make everything great right away. No, they asked him to show the fuck up, and he couldn't do it the first day, he couldn't do it the second day, he couldn't do it the third day, and he couldn't do it the fourth day, and then Friday, the first couple of trucks showed up. Friday, on the fifth day. Everybody wants everything to be perfect. No, asshole. We asked for some water to drink. We asked for some food to eat. Asshole, we didn't ask for everything to be perfect the first day. God damn, what an idiot. You know, see, this is why I couldn't do a talk show. If the guy said that to me, I would stop him right there and say what I just said. And if he gave me any shit, I'd stand up and say, Mother effer, do you want a piece of me on that subject? They want everything perfect right away. Oh, I would just probably launch on the guy. I would probably just grab him by the fucking throat and start squeezing. How dare you reduce all this to they want everything perfect right away? How dare you?
So the point is that George Bush did not care about African Americans in New Orleans.
That's right.
He let them die.
That's a game the Republicans like to play. So you're saying that George Bush didn't send help for 4 days because he doesn't like black people? Well, that's a possibility because you can't come up with any other explanation. Nothing explains it. So people try to fill that void with what if, what if, what if. You tell me why he didn't send any trucks for 4 days. You know, 4 days is a long goddamn time. And it's an eternity if you don't have water. I've never been 4 days without water. I don't have any idea what that's like. But George Bush sat on his ass. He did not give anyone any orders to go in there. Now, if it's not hatred of black people, what could it be? Please explain it to us, Mr. Glassman. You've got a microphone in your hand. You're defending Bush. Explain to it. If it's not racial hatred, what was it? What was the reason? Now, I think the reason is probably not racial hatred. I mean, yes, he hates black people, but he can't openly get away with that. So there was something else that went wrong. He gave someone an order, and he said, well, we can't do that until we do this. And we can't do A until we get B done. And we can't do B until we get C done. And there was a whole bunch of other reasons that they can't explain because it's too embarrassing. There's something that happened that went so wrong. But what could it be? It's 4 days. I mean, whatever it is. You know, everyone in the cabinet, they have these satellite telephones. It's not like they couldn't talk to each other. And there was no power outages outside of the Gulf Coast. So, for some reason, Bush didn't give the order or the order wasn't followed. There's some big, big thing here that they would rather the president be accused of racial hatred than explain the truth. Gee, I wonder what the truth is that's so horrible that they would rather take the I'm a racist killer. They'd rather wear that badge than tell us the truth. So what is the truth? How bad is the truth that they would accept the racial killer tag? Now, just to be fair, because we call them as we see them, Bill Maher, who I really like, is about to make a giant screw-up here, and I have to call him on it because it's a giant screw-up. Listen.
And let me ask you this about the looting. Would you agree that there was two kinds of looting? that there was the kind where people were desperate because they were starving and maybe were taking food out of a store. And then there were some people who were taking stereo equipment.
Yeah.
Would you agree that there was two kinds of
food? Yeah, people were walking away with television sets.
Well, this Jim Glassman just proved the point. When you ask, was there looting? Yeah, the niggers stole TVs. That's all he can think of. Hey, asshole, have you ever been without food and water for 4 days? And after, say, one day, if you get mad and throw a brick through a window and reach in and steal some food, what are we going to say? Oh, those white people, you know how they are, always stealing TVs. You son of a bitch. You saw people without food and water, and you reduced that to the nigger stole TVs. And then he goes, well, how are they going to watch them? They didn't have no electricity. I heard someone say that days ago. And this idiot gets on TV and repeats it because he thinks that's clever. Again, white people look at black people and they see niggers. I know people don't like it when I use that word, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. The conservative looks at black people and sees a nigger. When they look at Colin Powell, they think, smart nigger. I guarantee that's the truth. I mean, it is in Oklahoma, and I'm not saying every Republican, but I'm just saying, this guy, he just proved my point. When you say, was there looting in New Orleans? Yeah, niggers stole TVs. That's all he can think about. You know how those niggers are. You take away their food and water for 4 days, and they start to act stupid because they're niggers.
Okay, but would you agree that there was...
Oh,
wait, would you agree that there was those two kinds of looting?
Yes.
Okay, well, then is it not wrong for the president to issue an ultimatum that there was zero tolerance and thereby encourage his right-wing flacks to go ahead and say, this gives us license to suggest that we shoot people on sight, as if in the middle of this crisis where so many people are dying already, what we need to do is shoot Tyrone because he's getting out of Circuit City with some soggy tweeters?
Now, here's my problem with that. He had a spectacular point. He was about to make this guy eat it and make him choose between all niggers are that way or no, in every racial group, in every city, there's a small element of crime that's not ever going to go away because we're human beings. And instead of making him choose that point, he sacrificed all that for a soggy tweeter joke. Soggy tweeter, it's a cute little funsy kind of phrase. And he chose to go for the laugh instead of make his point. Before he turned Nazi, I had the same problem with Dennis Miller. He would get on a rant, and he would be on a roll, and he would be building and building and building. And just when he get to the climax of his argument, he'd reduce it to some silly-ass fart joke. And I'm like, dude, you had something there. You had something of value in your hands. You were working with something like a piece of art, like a sculpture. You were shaping it into a great argument that you could use to bully the other guy into agreeing that he's a racial prick that needs to come around and start thinking like a Democrat. And then you threw it all the way for a cheap, soggy tweeter joke. I don't understand why they do that. I mean, granted, I use humor when I make a point myself, but I don't sacrifice the point for the cheap laugh. So apparently Bush gave the order that it's okay to shoot looters on sight. You know, that's real easy to say when you've got a private chef that's cooking for you on the taxpayer dime. And if somebody else is starving and they see food in a dark Kroger or in a dark Safeway, they see food and they're starving. But if you try to get that food, we're going to shoot you in the back because you're a nigger? That's what this country is about? Jesus Christ, 200 years ago they talked about all men are created equal, and now we shoot you in the back because you're a nigger trying to eat. Jesus, when are people going to wake up? Is this what wakes people up? Are we seeing the turning point here? We might be seeing the turning point on the approval rating of Bush. What could he do to get out of this? What, is he going to get peace in Iraq? No. Is he going to get peace in the Middle East? No. Is the economy going to turn around and everybody gets a job? No. None of that's going to happen. Will Bush survive? I don't know. If we get enough people to vote in the 06 elections and we had a Democratic House, then they might eventually hold him accountable for something. But, you know, I kind of doubt it. Even if we somehow gain the majority back, we're still going to be the gelding wimp tutus. We're still going to be. I don't know what's going to change that. Whatever it is about Barkat that pisses me off, they need a whole lot more of Bart Cop in them in Washington, D.C., and I don't see that happening. I think the gelding idiots are going to sit there and say, oh, we don't want to be like them. We don't want to be mean and fight. No, you don't want to win. Sons of bitches.
I was wrong. This changes everything.
How do you spell badass liberal talk? BCR, Bart Cop Radio.